VCY America presents Crosstalk, a nationwide call-in program discussing issues that have an effect on our families, our communities, our churches, our nation, and our world. Crosstalk, an opportunity for you to voice your concerns for biblical principles. And now live by satellite and around the world on the internet at vcyamerica.org. Here is today's Crosstalk.
And thank you for joining us on Crosstalk today on VCY America. Ladies and gentlemen, the coronavirus, it has ravaged much of the planet. Most recently, we learned that COVID has reached the end of the earth as Antarctica, the last continent previously free from COVID-19, has now been hit. It's been hit at Chile's remote research station. We're told of widespread death and crippling economic shutdowns that have taken place all across this planet. And it's prompted some to ask, is COVID-19 a plague of the tribulation? And yet others are asking about the vaccine. Is it the mark of the beast? Well, here to address these issues and related issues as well, we welcome back to Crosstalk Dr. Ed Heinzen. He's a founding dean of the School of Divinity and distinguished professor of religion at Liberty. He's a speaker on the King is Coming broadcast for decades. He has been an active conference speaker, has served as the editor of 5 major study Bibles, the author, co-author, or general editor of over 40 books, many on the topics of Bible prophecy, such as 15 future events that will shake the world and Earth's final hour. Dr. Heinzen, welcome back to Crosstalk.
Thank you, Jim. It's always great to talk to the people there in the Milwaukee area and throughout your entire network. We love the work that you all are doing in giving the gospel of Jesus Christ to people at such a crucial time in history.
Yeah, indeed, for such a time as this. And Dr. Heinzen, let's first talk about COVID-19 itself. It literally now has reached all corners of the earth. Though most people living right now have never experienced a plague, plagues are not foreign to our world history, are they?
No, they sure are not. There have been many throughout history in which literally millions of people have died, far worse than what the world is experiencing right now. Many of them were viewed throughout history as judgments of God on society. In some cases, God was getting the attention of people. God was getting people to focus on their eternal destiny, etc. But just to name a few, there was a plague during the reign of Justinian in the 500s in which over 30 million people died. The Black Death in Europe in the 1300s, over 200 million people died. I've been on a bridge in Switzerland that was painted during that time, with scenes of death, where death is stalking young and old alike, etc., a very terrible time in human history of things that people have suffered. And yet, at the same time, Jesus warned the world in Luke 21 that at the time of the end, there would be a time of earthquakes and disasters and pestilences, which implies the idea of a pandemic. Pan from the Greek word all, and a disease that affects literally potentially all people everywhere. And in this day and age, with jet airplane travel and instantaneous communication around the world, this one has spread very, very, very rapidly. It's been 100 years since the plague of the Spanish flu back at the end of World War I, 1918 to 1920, and then finally phased out. And our hope is that this will eventually get under control. But in the meantime, it certainly has everybody's attention. Mm-hmm. In fact, my wife and I actually came down with COVID and were tested positive on December 11th. Had to have some treatment. I actually spent 2 nights in a hospital, took the remdesivir and some other things. But in my case, it was causing my heart to keep too much fluid on, and they had to drain that off. And I had a wonderful, miraculous recovery, so I'm very, very grateful. Mm-hmm. But I can testify COVID is real, and it tends to attack the weakness in your body, whatever that happens to be.
Well, as per today, and I was just looking at the Worldometer just a bit ago, they reported there's been approximately 1.8 million deaths worldwide due to COVID. And I know there is a great debate even to the accuracy of that number, but that's not the issue here. But what I want to point out is this approximate 1.8 million that they report really, really just pales in comparison to some of these, to the number of deaths from previous plagues that you were outlining there. I mean, this is just a fraction of what some of those plagues brought about.
Exactly. And I think it's a warning from God. It's a precursor. People ask me all the time, is this the judgment of God? Mm-hmm. Well, in one sense, the Bible makes it clear the world's always under the judgment of God. And so, yes, it's a judgment from God, but I think it's also a warning from God to remind us that things can spiral out of control very, very, very quickly. It's interesting that the entire COVID shutdown shut down entertainment, business, sports, all the things that the world is in love with today, the idols of our culture that so often take us away from a clear focus on God. And it's as though God pulled the rug out from under everybody and said, then fine, we can go without this for a while, and let's be thinking about what am I trying to communicate to your heart and life right now. And a lot of people are coming to faith right now. I'm talking to pastors all over the country who are saying their services are packed. People are responding both in person and on the Internet. People are serious about their eternal destiny because they're facing the fact that death is a reality. And in a culture like ours where it's been so protected medically in so many ways, it's easy to forget that death is a real thing. It's appointed unto man wants to die. Mm-hmm. And after this judgment, and this is a way of God, I think, getting our attention to focus on that which is eternal and that which is important.
So to those who wonder, is the coronavirus a plague of the tribulation? How do you respond, Dr. Heinzen?
Absolutely not. We are not in the tribulation period. The rapture has not occurred. The Antichrist has not been revealed. The seal and trumpet and bowl judgments of the book of Revelation are not being unfolded right now. I've been in the ministry for 50 years. So I've heard every kind of wild, crazy speculation from people about who might the Antichrist be or what might this judgment be or this crisis be, etc. People are always trying to read the newspaper and then shove it into the Bible somewhere. What we need to do is read the Bible and let the Bible explain to us what's really going on in the news. And I think what the Bible makes clear is, yes, God is setting the stage for the ultimate coming of Christ and the rapture of the church, and then the tribulation, and then the return of Christ dramatically to overthrow the Antichrist, but we're not there yet. The trumpet could sound at any moment. The Lord could come and call us home to be with him, and that'd be wonderful. In the meantime, we have a responsibility to proclaim the gospel, reach the world, and try to make a difference in the world in which we live in the meantime until the trumpet sounds.
Now, so many I talk to are so frustrated with, you know, the shutdowns and the business interruptions, the health issues and so forth from COVID. But actually, I think it's important we point out as well what we're experiencing right now with COVID not only pales in the number of deaths compared to like the Spanish flu from 100 years ago, but it also pales in comparison to really what's coming ahead when there is going to be a pestilence that takes the lives of many.
Exactly, and I think that's a warning from God in any of these kinds of situations, that even God's acts of judgment are ultimately acts of mercy to get our attention. If people think things are bad right now, this is nothing compared to what will happen moments after the rapture. Millions of people are suddenly raptured away. The world will be thrown into chaos, and especially in a country like America with a decent percentage of Christian believers, it's going to literally wipe out the economy. It'll affect everything from law enforcement people that are dealing with other pandemics and crises and problems that are going on during that time. The picture of the tribulation period in the book of Revelation is not a pretty picture. One-third of the world dies, and the world is on fire. Grass and trees are burning up. The water's polluted. The air is polluted. You can't see the sun and the moon for part of the day, etc. These are not just cosmic judgments. We When you read the book of Revelation, armies are marching, men are fighting, the world is at war, and it sounds like nuclear war, out of control.
Yeah.
That is beyond anything anybody's ever experienced or could comprehend. And this is the warning from God. Now's the time. Today is the day of salvation. Now's the time to turn to the Lord. You don't want to be left behind. If you think this is bad, this is nothing compared to what's coming.
And with that being said, Dr. Heinzen, I've been reading 2 Peter lately, and I see how God judged during the time of Noah and also during the time of Lot. And one thing that was very noticeable is that life was just going on as normal for people. I mean, they were eating, they were drinking, they were going back and forth to work, so to speak, but they ignored the warnings, believing that judgment will never come, but that judgment did come.
And that Peter's warning there is one that really is sobering and gets our attention, that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night, quickly, unexpectedly, and that people will not be prepared for this, even though God is reaching out to us generation after generation, calling people to repentance and faith. Peter implies in the end, they're going about their business like nothing's going to happen, and the flood came and wiped them all out, and the destruction fell at Sodom and Gomorrah, and even though Lot and the daughters escaped, the damage had already been done. They had been living in that environment for so long. His sons-in-law didn't take him seriously. The girls morally had all kinds of problems, and the whole thing ended up in a mess, and of course his wife died in the whole process. I think that those are reminders that God, in his grace, will remove believers from acts of wrath. That doesn't mean we escape all the problems of life at all. But when the wrath of God falls in the flood, Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord because he was righteous in his generation. Lot, even though he was in a compromising situation, the book of Jude says his righteous soul was vexed daily by what he saw going on there. And there's a sense in which we as believers today are almost caught in a gigantic Sodom and Gomorrah in our own nation.
Yes.
Immorality is on the increase everywhere around us and is not only tolerated, it's accepted, it's embraced, it's celebrated. And when a culture celebrates that kind of immorality, that culture has lost its spiritual moorings and is ultimately destined to the judgment of God.
Dr. Ed Heinzen with us here today on Crosstalk. And listening, friend, my mind often goes back to 9/11, 2001. I think of all the people that went to the trade towers that day, planning to do their business, make their trades, conduct their transactions, do their business, all the office work that needed to be done, making calls around the world, some preparing for leaving on business trips, etc. And yet they never did come home because, indeed, we saw the destruction that happened on that day. And the important aspect, even as we begin each waking moment, we don't know what a day holds, but we do know who holds the day. And it's important, it's imperative that we know Jesus Christ as Savior. We're going to come back further in discussion with Dr. Ed Heinzen, and we're going to talk more about that vaccine and find out, is this vaccine the mark of the beast? Well, we'll be back in 1 minute. You're listening to Crosstalk on the VCY American Network.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, popular creation speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, did Noah's Ark have to contain two of every species we find on planet Earth today?
Not at all, Chris. In fact, this is a straw man argument used by those who really don't believe in Noah's Ark at all. The Bible says that God created each basic type of animal after its kind, and that Noah was to bring two of each kind of animal on board the Ark. Kind would be represented by the basic categories of animals today, such as the dog kind. Within the dog kind, there are several species. That's the wolves and the foxes and the coyotes and the dingoes. They are called species, but they're all interfertile. They're all part of the dog kind. There was plenty of room on board the ark for two of each of these various kinds of land-dwelling, air-breathing animals. The Bible story holds water, as it were. We read about it when we go back to Genesis.
For more on creation, visit our website at www.icr.org.
You're listening to Crosstalk on VCY America. Our topic today, coronavirus and future events. Dr. Ed Heinsohn is with us today, speaker on the King is Coming telecast, and also has been active for many decades as a conference speaker. He has authored or edited numerous books, many of them dealing with Bible prophecy or Bible study-related issues, and with us today talking about these critical issues, questions people are asking. And Dr. Heinsohn, let's talk about the vaccine. And friends, I want to say that Dr. Heinsohn's doctorate is not in the field of medicine. So we're not talking about the components of the vaccination, whether you should take vaccines, any kind of vaccines or not. That's not the purpose of our program today. We're not giving medical advice, but we are looking more at the prophetic side of the coin here. Dr. Heinsohn, will the mark of the beast arise from a coronavirus vaccine?
No, I don't think so at all. And those that are trying to say that are just wildly speculating. When you look at what the Bible teaches, you have to stick with the facts. And then beyond the facts, how do you interpret those facts? And beyond that, everything else is just a guess. It's just speculation. For example, Jesus said, if I go back to heaven to the Father's house, I will come again and receive you unto myself. That's a fact. The promise of the second coming of Christ. Every Christian denomination of any kind affirms the fact that Jesus one day will return. The interpretation is, when will he return? How will he return? The rapture first or last or whatever. And then beyond that, all these other things are a matter of speculation. Will there be an Antichrist figure one day? Yes. That's a fact in the Bible. Will he control a global economy? Yes. So that no one can buy or sell. That's clear in Revelation 13. He does that with some kind of a mark. And the mark is the Greek word karagma, which means literally a tattoo. So it could be some kind of a cutting or marking in the skin or whatever. But to say that a shot, a vaccine, is the mark of the beast is just wild speculation. There's nothing to clearly indicate that in the Bible at all. In fact, I think the Bible makes it very clear the people who take the mark of the beast will do so deliberately. After the rapture, after the arise of the Antichrist on the scene, and even then, God sends an angel. In Revelation 14, the scripture says that an angel will fly over the earth. Revelation 14:9, a third angel followed them with a loud voice saying, if anybody worships the beast and his image, and receives his mark in his forehead or his hand, the same will drink of the wine of the wrath of God that is being poured out with fire and brimstone, etc. In other words, even the mercy of God will be shown during the time of the tribulation. And while the witnesses are proclaiming the gospel that have been converted to Christ after the rapture, at the same time, God's going to send an angel to warn the world, don't take the mark of the beast. So if people take it, they're taking it deliberately and willfully. You do not have to worry as a believer that you might accidentally take the mark of the beast. I've been in the ministry for 50 years. I remember when they first came out with postal codes, people said, oh, that's the mark of the beast. Computerized images, that's the mark of the beast, etc. Now, all of those things may be moving us in that direction.
Yeah.
I do think that the precedent that's been set right now is, if you could mandate wearing a mask, you could mandate taking a mark.
Yes.
Ultimately, this may well be telling us we're in a season of time moving rapidly toward the coming of Christ, in which people's mindset is going to be, well, for my own protection or security, I'll need to take this because you can't buy or sell without the mark. Now, we're not there yet, but this could very well set the stage for that.
Yeah.
But I think you cannot run ahead of God, and we have to wait and see. What is God up to right now? What is he saying to us? And I think his warnings are, this is a precursor of worse judgment to come in the future. Right now is the time to make sure your faith is real and that your spiritual destiny is locked in for eternity.
So as the book of Revelation addresses the mark of the beast, mark of the Antichrist. This is really when requires one to give a demonstration of allegiance to the Antichrist.
Exactly. Yeah, that kind of demonstration of allegiance has to come through that.
Mm-hmm.
Just like in the ancient world, when people had to give a demonstration of allegiance to Caesar and offer incense on an altar to say that Caesar is God, and the early Christians wouldn't do it. That's why John ended up in exile on the island of Patmos. He refused to do that. He was willing to say that Jesus is Lord, not Caesar is Lord, and the believers understood that. I think 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 is the key passage that makes it very, very clear that the Antichrist cannot be revealed until the restrainer is taken out of the way. Only after the rapture of the church will Satan's hands be free to indwell somebody to be the Antichrist. Now, if that were to happen in the next few years, then yes, the Antichrist person might already be alive and walking around on planet Earth, or he may not yet be born. We don't know that for sure, because we don't know the timing of God. Jesus said, nobody knows the day or the hour of my coming. So my advice always is, don't waste your time trying to guess the time. Be ready all the time, because Jesus could come at any time.
Amen.
And if he could come at any time, we need to be ready to go at any moment.
Mm-hmm.
But if he does come to call us home and the church is removed, the last voice of restraint of evil in our world is gone. And then the wicked one will be revealed, and that's the one whose coming is after the working of Satan with deception and false signs, etc. So all of those things will come, but they won't come till after the rapture, and that's where pre-tribulationists understand that. The rapture first, then the judgments of the tribulation follow after that.
So a person taking this mark, I mean, this is going to be a very deliberate act on their part. I'm rejecting Jesus Christ. I'm giving my allegiance here to this Antichrist.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
It's an allegiance that is permanent. And the book of Revelation then says, all those that dwelled on the earth who did take the mark did not repent. Those are some of the saddest words in the whole book of Revelation.
Yes.
Several times. Terrible judgment falls, the wrath of God falls, and they do not repent. They cry to the rocks and mountains to fall on them. They curse God, but they do not repent. So if people say to themselves, well, I'm just going to wait and see if the rapture happens and people disappear, then I'll repent and get right with God.
Mm-hmm.
According to the book of Revelation, most people are not going to repent at that time. So if you're not going to come to Christ now in a time of relative peace and prosperity, why in the world would you come to Christ at a time when you'd have to give your life for Christ? If you're not willing to live for him, you're certainly not willing to die for him. The call of the gospel is for now, to come to faith now and let Jesus change your life now and let him give you hope.
Yes.
And confidence for the future so that you can face life as it is in a fallen world, or you can even face the fact that you may step from this life to the next. COVID could claim you, and if it does, you need to know that you're ready to go into the arms of Jesus forever, into a heavenly destination that's eternal.
Yeah, or it could be that auto accident on the way home from work today.
Exactly.
Dr. Heinzen, you talked about this, in essence, the you know, the stages being set. I've often used a term that we're seeing a dress rehearsal of things to come.
That's good.
It's interesting. Now we have a failed presidential candidate, Andrew Yang, who just suggested recently, and he's coming under fire for it, but suggested that we use barcodes to identify people who have been vaccinated, as also reported a couple of weeks ago on WND.com. Some of the first Americans to receive the Pfizer vaccine were outfitted, and I understand with their knowledge and so forth, with something called bio buttons that would allow for tracking of their vital signs after getting the shot and doing that. We've also seen the development of like a quantum dot tattoo, whereby the vaccination put on through micro needles, but also leave a tattoo type thing on the skin. And I find that's all interesting because it is, whether it be a desensitizing or, as I say, a dress rehearsal of things to come, we're getting an idea of where the world is headed with this.
Yeah, I think it's a desensitizing. I don't think those things in and of themselves are the mark of the beast at all. But it's certainly setting the stage in the mind of the average person, especially the average person who's ignorant of the Bible, that if I'm in a desperate situation physically or financially, and I need some kind of a coating on me to, for example, prove that I'm safe to get on an airplane or prove that I can walk into a grocery store and buy food, et cetera. When you have a pandemic going on, people panic. You know, if I were to go around saying to people, yeah, I've got COVID, they don't want to be around me, even though I'm over it now and no longer contagious and actually immune to it. Nevertheless, people still look at you like, yeah, don't get too close. I need to make sure everything's okay here. So I understand that, that's a natural human desire to keep your health and safety, et cetera. But at the same time, our health and safety is really in the hands of God. For the believer, Bible prophecy is not scary. It's not written to scare us. It's written to prepare us to get ready to meet the Lord whenever he comes. The message of the book of Revelation is good news for the believer. We win. It's only bad news for the unbeliever.
And so I'd like to, before we go to our next break, just cover these two areas in, that you've talked about. For instance, again, going back to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11, seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness? In light of what is to come, Doctor, how should this impact believers today?
I think it should make us, first of all, very serious about the call to evangelize the world. Go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, that we have an evangelistic imperative in the Great Commission. Don't sit on your faith and be satisfied that you're on your way to heaven. Share your faith with as many people as possible. And people are more willing to listen right now than ever before because they're facing their own vulnerability because of the COVID crisis. I think they're more willing to listen and more willing to respond than ever before. Secondly, that we've got to live out our faith in such a positive way that non-believers see, hey, these believers have a confidence in God. They have a joy and an assurance that helps them get through this crisis that we do not have. And I need what they have, and only Jesus Christ himself can provide that by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Pure living part of it as well, isn't it?
It sure is. You preach it, you live it, and you demonstrate it, and you let God bring in the results, and he will, to his own glory and honor.
And so also, not only in light of what is to come, how should this impact believers? And you've addressed this previous, but highlight again, if you would, in light of what is to come, how should this impact non-believers?
I think you need to take the whole situation very seriously. If this has frightened you, frustrated you, scared you, worried you, you need to find your confidence in a relationship with Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. He's the only one that can see you through. When you and I can't make it, Jesus will make it.
Amen. Dr. Ed Heinsohn with us today. Let's open some phone lines. Have you got a question for Dr. Heinsohn on this issue today? Our number, 800-733-9829. 800-733-9829. You're listening to Crosstalk.
High in the Swiss Alps, Lucian, a lonely, frightened 13-year-old, is overtaken by catastrophic events as he causes little Danny to fall off of a cliff. Lucian finds himself an outcast with his family, his school friends, and especially the very hostile Annette, the sister of Danny.
Danny, I've told you not to talk to Lucian. He'll only hurt you again.
Bitterness and anger set in. As Lucian finds solitude in the nearby woods, he comes across a woodcarver who helps him find the peace he was looking for, but not only changes his life, but that of others as well.
You may be able to run away from the village, but you can't run away from yourself.
Treasures of the Snow quickly captures the heart. It's a story of friendship, forgiveness, and redemption. Treasures of the Snow is available on DVD for a donation of $16 or more by calling VCY America at 1-800-729-9829. That's 1-800-729-9829.
Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest here today on Crosstalk. Coronavirus and future events is our topic. And just speaking of future events, let me just mention that we do have copies yet of Dr. Heinsohn's book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World. And certainly there is much that is to come ahead, as Scripture tells us. And we do have his book available, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more. You can ask for a copy of the book, or if you'd like two copies, one for yourself, one to share with another, we make two copies available for a donation of $25. And it's available at 1-800-729-9829. You can just ask for the book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World. He's Dr. Heinsohn's been with us previous, as we've interviewed on that book. Also, in a short time as well, we'll have it up on our website at vcyamerica.org. But certainly a book that goes into much more detail on the things which are to come. Let's begin in East Troy, Wisconsin. We have William calling. Hi, William. You're on the air.
Thank you, Dr. Heinsohn. Appreciate all your work over the years. Wanted to say and make a comment that Andrew Yang out in California, presidential candidate on the Democratic side, was pushing for the fact that he wanted people to take a mark to show that they have been vaccinated. And I know that even China has been talking about making sure you have a digital or some sort of a tattoo to show that you've been vaccinated. I'm not sure if that would tie into the mark of the beast. But my question, too, would be if masks are hindering our evolutionary process, the left are always pushing the fact that they believe in evolution. Isn't it a contradiction that if they truly believe in evolution, they should make people like take the masks off so that evolution can take its course where the weak die off and the strong survive?
Interesting.
Well, in a sense, that would be the logical conclusion, right? That natural selection is eliminating us.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting to me that non-believers who say, oh, there is no God, they don't believe in God, when there's a crisis, they get mad at God, the God that they don't believe in. How did God let this happen, et cetera, and they want to curse God. And I always want to say, hey, look, why don't you curse the planet? If you think evolution is the real end-all, be-all, natural selection is eliminating the weak. You're exactly right. But in reality, they don't want evolution to take its course because they don't want to be eliminated. So science, in essence, fights back against that, trying to preserve life, which is a good thing. But it's not because of an evolutionary process. It's because of the end result of the curse of sin on our planet, that our whole planet is technically under the judgment of God. And yet it's the grace of God that has allowed, in many cases, believers to push back the whole line of medical help to help us improve our lives and extend our lives. We have the longest life expectancy rate, since the days before the flood. The problem is that if we live longer, are we really going to live better and have a chance to use those years to know the Lord and serve the Lord, or are people going to waste those years on self-indulgent living?
Mm.
And I think if we don't learn the lessons God's trying to teach us right now, something far worse is going to come.
Wow.
Now, when they were dealing with the Spanish flu, and they got through that by 1920, the 20s were a boom era, but they were headed into the 30s, the Depression, World War II. 30 to 40 million people were going to die in World War II. The problem wasn't over in 1920, and the problem's not going to be over in 2020. The world is still on a collision course, ultimately, with the judgment of God. Unless there's real repentance and real revival and a real turning of the hearts of people, then we would pray that would happen. But if it doesn't, I see us on a moral slide, ultimately, to the end. And this all sets the stage to accept all those things that will come after the rapture.
William, thank you for the call. We're going next to Chris. Next. Hi, Chris. You're on the air.
Yes, Dr. Heinsohn, praise God. I saw you at the VCY rally in Waukesha, and it was one of the best nights I've had in a long time. I hope you come back soon. My comment is, we know that as born-again believers, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit under the Day of Redemption, and also the Antichrist, being a copycat of God, seals the unbeliever with the mark of the beast. My question is, could a true born-again Christian ever line up and take this so-called mark? I don't believe it's possible. I just want to hear what
Chris.
Your comment.
I agree. Yeah, I don't believe it's possible. The Lord knows those that are his own, that are sealed, you're right, with the person and power of the Holy Spirit. When you're born again, you're born of the Spirit of God, baptized and immersed into the body of Christ. Your life becomes co-eternal with the life of God. He that has the Son hath life, the Bible says. We already have eternal life. We'll change the place where we exist with it forever, but we already have the gift of eternal life. And the down payment of the Holy Spirit is the assurance of that. So you can't have God and Satan indwelling the same person at the same time. You can't have a believer accidentally taking the mark of the beast. I think if you know your heart and you know your life is committed to Christ, you've been born of the Spirit of God, sealed by the Holy Spirit of God, you have every assurance of heaven forever and ever and ever. I've got a new book coming out next summer called Future Glory, 7 things that God has promised every Christian in their future. We don't just die and go to heaven. You've got the promise of the rapture, the trip to the Father's house, the judgment seat of Christ for our rewards, the marriage of the Lamb, the triumphal return with Christ, a millennial reign on earth, and then a new heaven and a new earth and a new Jerusalem. So many things God has prepared for those that love him and who love his appearing.
Chris, thank you for the call, and we'll look forward to the release of that book as well. Cindy in Ashland, Oregon, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just wanted to speak to the importance of supporting each other in terms of discrimination, you know, learning to be discriminating Christians and supporting each other in that, especially in the ways in which the dark, you know, Satan uses mass media, you know, lures through fear, manipulates through fear. Mm-hmm. I think it's really important to, you know, to be strong and to recognize fear. And of course, you know, God and the angels saying, you know, fear not, you know, mm-hmm. and to remember that there is nothing to fear.
Yeah.
You know, so I just wanted to comment on that, and thank you.
Thank you, Cindy. Dr. Heinzen.
Now, that's a very timely comment. The Bible says that perfect love casts out fear. And I think we have to focus on a perfect love for Christ, that he loves us with an undeniable love that is secure for eternity, and that we love him as well, and that we do not need to fear the future. We are concerned about ungodly people and unwise decisions that are often made politically, socially, militarily, whatever. We know that we live in a fallen world, but we know that we live here with the power of the Holy Spirit who casts out fear and gives us confidence to face the future, that we enter boldly before the throne of grace through the blood of Jesus Christ. Take every request to him, and I agree with her. Mm-hmm. Believers right now need to be encouraging one another. There's this kind of meandering fear hanging over people all the time. Have I been exposed to the virus? What's going to happen? Am I okay, etc.? The truth is, your life is secure in the hand of God. He's numbered your days. He's numbered the hairs on your head. He knows exactly his purposes for your life, and you can trust him to fulfill that to his glory.
Let's go next to Ron, who's calling in from Sheboygan. Ron, you're on the air.
Yeah, thank you, Ed. You are so refreshing. I listen to you all the time on The King is Coming, and everything that you've been saying, I've been out here telling people all the time. And what I just want to say, I believe if Christians would be studying the scriptures, I'm not just saying reading, I'm saying studying the scriptures the way they should, we would see that we're not in that 7-year tribulation period yet. We know that the Apostle Paul tells us that the Antichrist cannot come on the scene because it's the Holy Spirit that's restraining him through the church. And when the church is taken out, the Antichrist comes in and fills that vacuum. We need to study the scriptures, and we would see what you're saying is the truth. And with this, I just want to say that 1918 influenza was so terrible. It was on television a few days ago. Mm-hmm. There was like 30 million people that died worldwide, and there was like 550 or something like that, 1,000 people in the United States that died. They had to wear masks. They shut down the schools. It was terrible. I mean, we are not in the tribulation period. Mm-hmm. We need to study the scriptures. That's all.
Hey, thank you, Ron,
exactly.
for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you. Now, that's a good word. That's exactly right. Every time something goes wrong on a large scale, people think, oh, it's the tribulation period. We're already there. The judgments are already occurring. They look at the seal judgments in Revelation or the trumpet judgments and try to read that into some current event. But he's exactly right. What we're facing today, as bad as it is nothing compared to the Spanish flu situation. I'm thankful that God has given wise people the ability. What Americans can do scientifically is amazing. To produce something that can counteract this virus within less than a year is unheard of in human history. And God gives people the ability of human intelligence to use to benefit the human race to bring glory to God.
Ron, thank you so much for the call.
If we just try to benefit ourselves and don't bring glory to God, then we've missed the whole point.
We've got Tom calling next. Hi, Tom, you're on the air.
Yes, I'm wondering, a virus is so tiny you can't see it with the human eye, whether it's chickenpox, rabies, or shingles. Is there some place in the Bible that describes these horrific viruses?
Not specifically. The general statement is pestilence that would spread at the time of the tribulation, etc. That there are times of diseases were spreading in the Bible and people were dying and God intervened ultimately to stop it and bring about healing for people, etc. But I don't think there's a clear statement anywhere invisible to the human eye, viruses are causing all of these problems. I don't think people in the ancient world would have understood that. They could not have comprehended that. They didn't have a microscope to see it. God's given us the ability to identify it so we can deal with it, but it is part of, unfortunately, the curse of sin on a fallen world in which disease is still a reality. And while God can heal and often does heal, and I'm grateful healed me a couple of weeks ago. But at the same time, there's no automatic guarantee. God's not a genie in a bottle that we can just pull the string and say, do what I want on my timetable. God operates on his timetable. God is the one who is sovereign, and we have to learn to trust him no matter what challenges we're facing in life. But thank God that good people are trying to do some good things to be helpful in this direction. Again, I think all of this is a warning from God, a harbinger, a precursor, whatever you want to call it, to say this is just a glimpse of what could go on when the rapture occurs and all hell breaks loose on planet Earth.
Tom, thank you for calling. We're up against a break. We're going to be taking our break and coming back to more of your calls. So, Joanne, stay on the line. You'll be coming up next here after the break. Dr. Ed Heinzen with us today. Again, if you'd like to obtain his book, 15 Future Events That Will Shake the World, it's available here from Crosstalk, and you can contact her switchboard at 800-729-9829. We'll be right back.
For the Worldview Report, I'm Brandon House. Our website's worldviewreport.com. Recently, a friend of mine in the intelligence arena sent me a report that showed that the National Center for Counterterrorism is classifying, along with the FBI, as potential extremist, potential violent extremist, worthy of being monitored, anyone that complains about their perceived threat to their Second Amendment right. Yes, my friends, we've reached the day where the one that is the potential extremist or terrorist is American men. Conservative, constitutionalist, Christian men. This has been going on for several years, back to the Obama administration and the Department of Homeland Security that wanted to label as potential terrorists people interested in the pro-life issue, national sovereignty, or even Bible prophecy. We need to be aware of the fact that we Americans are being set up by our own government as the problem, as the Marxists and Islamists take over the power centers of our nation.
Dr. Ed Heinsohn is our guest, a Bible prophecy speaker, a conference speaker, has authored or co-authored or been general editor over 40 books, many on the topic of Bible prophecy. And we're taking your calls here today on Crosstalk. Holding the longest has been Joanne in Boise, Idaho. Joanne, thanks for holding. You're on the air.
Yes, I am so glad you took my call. I had a talk this last week with Citicard, C-I-T-I,
mm-hmm.
credit card.
Yeah.
They said there's a chip in the card, and I said, well, what is a chip? C-H-I-P? What mm-hmm. is a chip? Oh, you can go in any place. You can just chip it here and chip it there.
Mm-hmm.
So exactly what is a C-H-I-P in a credit card, and why? Why are they putting that in there?
Okay.
Well, they put that in. That's in all credit cards. You've got a chip in your automobile, too,
mm-hmm.
Probably. If you've got OnStar or any kind of a guidance system in your car, all of that operates off of computer chips, and so do most credit cards these days. So that's why you don't always have to swipe the credit card now. You chip the card. Again, this is just technology to make things go quicker, faster, easier, and more efficiently, but it is setting the stage for the idea that this kind of stuff is normal. It's part of normal life. And I think what gets my attention is 30, 40 years ago, people said, yeah, that's never going to happen. That Mark idea in the Bible is kind of far-fetched. Well, it's not now. So what that tells me is I'm not worried about my credit card. My concern is I think all of this tells me we're moving closer to the time of the rapture, and people need to get serious about their faith in Christ because the clock is ticking and time is running out.
Thank you, Joanne. We're moving on to William in New Mexico. You're on the air.
Yes, thank you for taking my call. My thought is this could probably be the precursor, this coronavirus thing that we're seeing now, and the vaccinations and the accountability of who's vaccinated and who's not, of what, you know, the scripture says that is to come, because as far as we know, this virus was not made biological, so we know that it could be that God is talking to us, you know, to get ourselves ready on what are things to come.
Yeah, indeed. That's what Dr. Heinsohn has referred to. Thank you, William. David is next in Kentucky. You're on the air, David.
Yes, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. Going way back in my mind, I've been saved about 26 years, but going back a long time ago, an uncle of mine told me, as we talk about these precursors, that even back in the days of FDR, when Social Security numbers come out,
that
many people, especially, you know, saved people, church people, whatever like that, back then thought that this was the mark of the beast. So we've had these precursors for such a very long time.
Yes.
Then having said that, if I may jump, and I'll try to talk fast, Jim, but I consider myself sort of in the shape of the dear father when the Lord Jesus and Peter, James, and John came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, had the son that the demon could not be cast out by the other disciples. And when Jesus cast him out, the man said, Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief.
Yeah.
And from day to day, that's how I feel. And my spirit is good with a program like today,
mm-hmm.
and a program such as yesterday, and I love the program. I love the program, Jim. Took me to the deepest depths of depression, you know, thinking about, as a patriot, what the Muslims, you know, are trying to do.
Mm-hmm.
I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, indeed.
No, you are. It, this is a serious challenge for real believers, and you're right. The man said, Lord, yes, I do believe, but help my unbelief. And I think for real believers, sometimes there are areas of doubt or concern or worry, and God has to refocus our attention on him and on solid faith. You know, the interesting thing in that story is when they come down from the Mount of Transfiguration and the Father comes to Jesus and says, I brought my son to your other disciples, the other nine guys. I'm sure they prayed over him. They did something. They had cast out demons before. So they probably did whatever they thought they were supposed to do, but it didn't work. And then Jesus said something that changed everything. He looks at the Father and says, bring him to me.
Yeah.
That's the key.
Yeah.
To really come face to face, heart to heart, life to life with Jesus, that he really is the risen Lord. He's the Savior. He's the one who can sustain you through all of the challenges of life.
God bless you, David. Thank you for the call. Russell is calling from Salina, Kansas. You're on the air.
Yes, Jim. Thank you for taking my call. And Dr. Hines, and just want you to speak to the deception and how it is related to prophecy. Thank you very much.
Deception in our world today. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, it also fits with that passage in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, that there would come a time of apostasy or unbelief. Apostasy means to walk away from your profession of faith. And we're having a lot of people deconverting today. I spent the whole day today writing an article on this. I think in some cases, too much cheap grace, too much easy believism, without real solid faith and commitment to Christ. But people face challenges they didn't expect or questions they didn't have answers to, and instead of running to God, they want to run away from God. The challenge right now is that unfortunately, not all, but in many churches, there's such a watered-down emphasis on the gospel. Everything is, you know, Jesus wants to make you happy and healthy and wealthy, and if you don't get that, something went wrong. People are disappointed, they're frustrated, they're confused, etc. I think we need to come to an understanding of the message of Christ is, follow me. Matthew left everything at the tax collector's booth and followed Jesus. Peter and Andrew left the fishing business and followed Jesus. If Jesus is calling you to follow him, it's not just an intellectual assent in your mind. It's a faith that says, I'm going to give my heart and life to you forever, and I'm going to trust you, not just for eternity in heaven. I'm going to trust you for life in the meantime, day by day, with all of its ups and downs and challenges, knowing that you'll walk with me every step of the way. Jesus said, I will not leave you comfortless. I will send you the Holy Spirit, the Comforter. He will comfort you and guide you.
Dr. Ed Heinzen, our guest, and I apologize, but friends, with less than 15 seconds left on the broadcast, we're not able to take any more further phone calls, but certainly the topic, an important one, the prayer should be, Lord, help my unbelief, and certainly help me to be that which you've called me to be, sir, certainly serious in our commitment to evangelize, bring other souls to the kingdom for such a time as this. Dr. Ed Heinzen's book, available here, our way of saying thank you for your support of $16 or more, or two copies for $25. You can call our switchboard at 800-729-9829 or at vcyamerica.org. Thank you, Dr. Heinzen, for being with us.
Thank you. It's been great to be with you. God bless you all.
Via satellite and the internet from VCY America. Views expressed may or may not be those of this station. For a CD of today's program, send a donation of $6 or more to VCY Tape Ministry, 3434 West Kilbourne Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin, 53208, or download by RSS or podcast from crosstalkamerica.com. And join us again for Crosstalk.